This is Philip H. Anselmo.
Hey, everybody. This is Ricky Rackman from Headbangers Ball.
Hey, guys. This is Aaron from Betraying the Martyrs.
Hey, what's up? This is Mike D. from Killswitch Engage.
Hey, this is Scooter Word from Cold.
And you are listening to.
Talk to me. With Joshua.
What is up, congregation? Welcome in to Talk To Me, episode 226. The guest this week is John Zazula, Johnny Z to all of us, the creator and founder of Megaforce Records. He took a chance on an unsigned band called Metallica back in 1982. Brought us Kill 'Em All and Ride the Lightning, and then he went on to release albums and manage bands such as Anthrax, Testament, Merciful Fate, Raven, Overkill, Exciter, Stormtroopers of Death, Methods of Destruction, Ace Frehley, and so many more bands. It's a fun chat. I got to sprinkle some music in on this one. It's always fun when you speak to someone that has a career as long as this one. Johnny Z is the type of guy that you could spend 6 hours with and still not get the entire story. But he is on to promote his new book, Heavy Tales, The Metal, The Music, The Madness, as lived by John Zazula, out October 29th, and pre-orders are up now, so make sure you are doing this, because he is doing all of this on his own and all by himself. So make sure to support the man that gave us so many great bands and so many great albums. If you are on the Instagram, at Talk To Me Podcast, you are seeing so much great stuff, but you will see something that our good friend Scott Bowling down in Atlanta, Georgia did. You will see that he just had Jacoby Shaddix of Papa Roach on his show, Good Company with Bowling. And then afterwards, Jacoby was looking around, checking out some stuff, took a photo with the Talk To Me shirt that you can check out in the show notes. Links to the shirts are always there and always appreciated if you pick one of those up. But we posted a photo of Jacoby holding the shirt, which is always great for promotions and things like that. And make sure you guys are checking out Good Company with Bowling over on YouTube, or check him out, scottgoodcompany.com. So many great interviews with Head from Korn, Rich Ward from Stuck Mojo and Fozzy, Billy Gray, Jose Mangan, Matt Pinfield, the upcoming Jacoby Shaddix episode, Phil Dimmel of Machine Head. If you've got some time, pop that up on your smart TV and watch it. So, so good. And the quality down there is fantastic, with Nathan Mowry and that entire crew going in and filming each and every episode of Good Company with Bowling. Yes, Good Company with Bowling. Or scottgoodcompany.com. Let him know that the Talk To Me podcast sent you. And another fine sponsor of the Talk To Me podcast is merchlive.com. Head over there, check out their entire selection of band tees. They've got so many bundles from so many great bands, so many bands that have gone through Megaforce. Just get a Metallica shirt, just for the simple fact of how cool it is to have Johnny Z on a podcast, on the Talk To Me podcast. Head over to Merch Live, get a Metallica t-shirt, use the promo code TOOMEY10, that is TOOMEY10, yes, TOOMEY10, at checkout for 10% off your entire order. Huge shout out to Samantha and our media relations department at the Talk To Me podcast. If you guys are not following the Instagram at Talk To Me podcast, you guys are missing out. It's also in the Talk To Me congregation on Facebook. So follow the Instagram, go join the Facebook group, discussion, debate, topics daily, show quotes. The art itself is just awesome. I mean, if you haven't noticed, the thumbnails for each and every week have just shot through the roof, gone from plain old Talk To Me logo to actual show graphics. How cool is that? So make sure you're commenting on everything and telling Samantha thanks. Because I know, as much as I love a nice thank you, she will enjoy a nice thank you also. And speaking of gratitude, let's check out an iTunes review. And make sure you guys are heading over to iTunes, Apple Podcasts, whatever they're calling it these days. Give it a nice 5-star rating, a nice 5-star review, and it will be read on the upcoming episode. Get your voice out there, get it heard on Talk To Me. This is from SKV. Highly recommended, 5 stars. I will take that any day. Multi-dimensional podcast with a fantastic layout. Joshua never disappoints with his highly impressive guest list and extensive insight into the music industry. Short, sweet, 5 stars. Thank you so much. Make sure you are heading over to Apple Podcasts, Podchaser, or you can do a Facebook recommendation. All of those will be read on the upcoming episode, and all of those are very much appreciated because it gets the Talk To Me podcast out in front of so many fans and so many people. Thank you guys for checking out last week, the 4-year anniversary episode with Phil Anselmo. You guys know how much I love Pantera. And getting Phil Anselmo in an episode is so cool. So if you are new to the podcast, go to the archives, check out some cool stuff. But you don't have to go that far. Just go last week. Phil Anselmo, who I will be seeing this weekend at Louder Than Life. And I will be getting some interviews at Louder Than Life. Not a ton set up so far, so we're going to see how this goes. This year might be a bust when it comes to interviews. But I think I might have a couple of cool ones, and I might even try to get a couple of video interviews to get up on the YouTube page and all that good stuff. So cross your fingers and see if we can't get some cool ones there. But back to the man of the hour, John Zazula, Johnny Z to you and me. Make sure to check out his book, Heavy Tales, The Metal, The Music, The Madness, All Lived by John Zazula. Out October 29th, pre-order it now. And without any more of my ramblings, let's check out a classic Metallica track off of Kill 'Em All. Talk to Johnny Z, check out some more classic Metallica, and then I will talk to you momentarily. Alright guys, we are on the line with Johnny Z, John Zazula, the legend himself, man. How are you today?
I'm doing good. How about you?
I'm doing well, doing well. How have you enjoyed, kind of promoting a book about you rather than having to talk about everybody else for a change?
It's a real change of pace, I'll tell you that. I kind of like the fact that everybody's making a fuss over me.
Yeah, I mean, you're a staple in everyone's record collection. You know, you're just a mainstay in the hearts and minds of metalheads.
That's nice of you to say. Thanks.
Well, Well, let's dive right into it, man. What was the purpose for writing a book at this point in your life?
Well, you know, life is kind of short, and you don't know when it's going to end. And I wanted to set the record straight and put the timeline out there and just tell the story. It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
It took me a year and a half to write the book, and I had to bring in somebody to jog my memory, this Harold Claros Maldonado from Richmond, Virginia. He basically worked with me and helped put the timeline together. If you saw that discography at the end, he helped me put that together. That was a real bitch of a job. And once I had the timeline, I was able to tell the stories of what happened along that timeline. It was really a good team.
Now, I know you're known for breaking a lot of bands, and I guess the first off, you know, what got you into music? Was your family musical? Were you older siblings, anything like that?
Well, it's in the book. My house was a wild place to live, but I grew up listening to Puccini and Rimsky and Stravinsky and Tchaikovsky and Chopin. You know, I was played in my house all day, plus Broadway shows. Well, I grew up just listening to all that music. And then at a very young age, I was taken to see the Bolshoi Ballet. That's the ballet from Russia. And I went to the symphonies at Carnegie Hall. You know, it was a great upbringing musically. And it just stayed with me. The appreciation and knowledge I had of music stayed with me since I was 3-4 years old.
And what was some of the first heavy stuff you got into?
Well, the heavy stuff I got into was before this new wave of heavy metal. You know, I was into groups like Cream and Led Zeppelin. You know, that was like as heavy as it got. And then Black Sabbath, you know, and I grew up into it that way. I was always really a deadhead when Jerry Garcia was alive. But when Jerry died, I really went into a neutral place and find the music to love till I really got into heavy metal. It was Angel Witch and Iron Maiden and Motorhead at first that really got me into it.
And have you always been kind of an entrepreneurial, were you an entrepreneurial kid? Were you, you know, paper route and lemonade stand or, you know, always trying to figure out how to make a buck? You know, turning that into
always, you know, I grew up in a very poor economic situation. In order to get my first set of drums, you know, I had to wax cars and I had 2 paper routes. I couldn't even afford a bike to throw the papers. I had to get a shopping cart loaded with 2 routes of papers and carry it over a mile and a half.
Oh, wow.
To get to my destination and walk up and down steps of private houses. I had only 1 apartment building in the Bronx. And that's how I got my drums. And the story, I was never meant to be a real entrepreneur. I don't know what I was put here for, but I always give God the credit. Somebody gave me a real leg up and got me going, and once they did, I was never ever to stop
until later on in life.
Now, I know growing up as a kid, for me, I would go to the record store and talking to the owner, and he would push me towards certain music and things like that. Was that the way you were prior to owning?
Oh, no. No. Yeah, I realized I got my first records when I was 5 or 6 years old.
Mm-hmm.
They were 45, 6 called them, 7-inch records.
Yeah.
And I used to sit and just look at the playlist and say, wow, what would I like to have? Wow, what would I like to have? But the store pretty much just had albums and singles, and you picked them and you bought them. Nobody told you anything. A 6-year-old kid who comes in to buy Chubby Checker and The Twist, you know? But all the records I bought through my life, The Beach Boys, The Four Seasons, you know, that was all done with my own money. At the age of 13, I used to skip school with some bad friends of mine and go to Brooklyn from the Bronx on the trains by ourselves and have money saved up to go see what was called the Murray DeKay shows. He was the 5th Beatle in the United States. And Murray Decay, the radio man, brought bands like Detroit, Mitch Ryder and the Detroit Wheels, the Young Rascals when they were kids. I saw Stevie Wonder do Fingertips when he was young.
Oh, wow.
You know, I grew up on this. And Cream did their first show in America when I was 14, 15 years old at a Murray Decay show. And then they went on to become the biggest jam band of its time. But I was into music from the very beginning. My whole life was based around music.
That's great. And the opening, Rock and Roll Heaven, what prompted you to want to do something like that?
Well, as I tell the story in the book, I was on the bottom of, I was at the bottom of the barrel. In fact, the barrel was on my head and squeezing me. things were really bad. And Marcia's father was paying $70 a week to help feed our family. At that time, $70 a week could just about feed you. And I really was upset about that. My pride was really hurt. I didn't like the idea that my family was being subsidized by a parent. So I tried to make a few extra dollars, which turned out to be a little stand in a flea market selling import records to make $70 a week. And from there, from that little flea market to make $70 a week, grew a very successful record store that had people traveling to it for 500 miles to see what kind of new metal was out. I did all metal. I had some specialty stuff that wasn't metal, but the store was 90% metal and 100% of everything out. There was nothing missing.
Now, I know you grew up in the, grew up in the metal world and through tape trading and things like that. What are some of the memories of the fascinating world of tape trading?
Well, I never tape traded. It was sort of like the destination for everybody's tape. everybody would send me tape to come and do shows, to be signed to Megaforce. Could I help them get a deal with somebody? What kind of advice do I have? Johnny, is my tape any good? And the good ones, I guess, bands like Overkill, to sell right in the store. And we sold tapes, demos of bands, I call them, pre-album releases. We sold them out of Rock and Roll Heaven. They had to be very good to be in the store. Like Anthrax came to me 5 times and I turned them down.
Yeah.
They finally got it together on Soldiers of Metal and blew my mind. But, oh, were they pains in the ass.
What are some of your early memories of those guys, the guys in Anthrax kind of coming around the record store? Were they daily mainstays? Were they, once a week? How
They were always there, always talking to me about music. They wanted to know everything there was, and they knew mostly what was already. Very, very educated, very, very hip to the scene. I dealt mostly with Scott and Loka. In the book, I tell the story of how they followed me to a IHOP, to an International House of Pancakes, where my family and I were eating before opening up the store. And they actually had a tape in mind for me, and they dropped it on me. Thank God it was great. It was Soldiers of Metal. I could gave it.
Yeah! So good. I do have a list of some Megaforce bands that you kind of came across and put out. We'll get to Metallica at the end. I do want to kind of talk about some other stuff other than them. You know, obviously Anthrax was a big one. Another big one in my record collection as a kid was the Freely's Comet. Were you a Kiss fan going into that, and was there trepidation kind of getting into Ace's camp?
Well, I was a little paranoid about the whole thing at first, but did Eddie Kramer, the producer of Alive 2 and other great albums in the world,
yeah,
vouched for Ace.
Okay.
We sat down and had a lunch in a very fancy restaurant to really meet each other for the first time. And Ace ordered a tuna fish sandwich, you know, which was really weird because this was a real Chateaubriand kind of place, you know?
Okay.
The way to go, you mean you want a tuna fish sandwich? So anyway, the first album was great. And the talent and the music faded after that, I felt. But I really got a kick out of working with Ace. I treated him like royalty, which he is.
Another band on the list we've got here is Testament. What did you see in those guys?
At first, I saw them as a band that sounded like Metallica.
Right.
And I didn't want to be bothered with them, but Metal Maria Ferrara from my office drove me crazy about them. I mean, Johnny, the Legacies, they were called the Legacy.
Yeah.
You know, they're amazing. And then they lose their singer. And I still wasn't interested. And then I heard Chuck Billy with them. And I really, really wanted to go see them. So I went to Oakland, and I saw them at their rehearsal place. I was blown away, and Testament became part of Megaforce Records. Chuck Billy and I remain best friends today. We go traveling together. It's a wonderful life we have with Chuck.
One question I did have for you with the San Francisco connection and the thrash world and Megaforce, was there ever thought of moving out there or relocating yourself?
Never. I'm a New Jersey boy.
All right. Enough. All right. Another band, Violence, San Francisco band. What did you see in those guys?
Well, we went to see them in their rehearsal place in Union City, in the Bay Area. And they were great, man. Absolutely friggin' great. But I had so many controversial lyrics on that. I went head-to-head with Atlantic Records. And Atlantic Records really made my life miserable with Violence. They really did rip me up. And I put a real rift in the relationship with Atlantic Records and Megaforce. And Violence, unfortunately, didn't really get to happen in a big way. It didn't sell a lot of records, and it was a sad situation. But the band was great.
And it's good to see those guys coming back around again, and they're headlining festivals. They're selling out multiple nights, and it's pretty crazy to come around.
It's insane.
Yeah. So good. Another kind of an oddball band, but friends of the show, Fozzy. I know they put out their debut album through you. What was the draw to Chris Jericho and Fozzy back in the, I guess it was almost 20 years ago now?
Well, I was a big wrestling fan, and I love Chris. And I really liked the story of how Fozzy started and the humor behind it. And I knew it was going to be a strange album. But I said, let's give it a chance, and we did. So we gave Fozzy his contract and signed him to Megaforce.
It's another crazy band to see that have kind of gone on to respectability.
Yeah. You know, there's Overkill.
Yeah.
Overkill. King's X. You know who King's X are?
Oh yeah. They're a fantastic band. Doug Pinnick and the boys.
Find them. Raven.
Mm-hmm.
Merciful Fate. You know, there's a big Megaforce history.
Oh, Megaforce. Yeah, this is, like I said, the CD collection goes on and on. What was kind of one band that you feel got away from you? One band, not after you signed them, obviously, but, one band you were trying to get that you wanted that you couldn't get?
I'll have to say it was Megadeth.
Great band.
We couldn't see eyeball to eyeball. And I don't think he trusted me after the Metallica debacle,
right?
That didn't happen, but I would have loved to have had he sells on Megaforce, you know?
Oh, that would, yeah, I think anybody would have loved to have that on their thing. And then one band that you signed that you didn't understand maybe not getting as big as they should have.
Was who?
No, I'm just asking, like, what band for you was a band that you signed that you thought would be bigger?
Exciter,
okay.
I thought they'd deliver a much better album, be much bigger.
That was a disappointment.
Yeah.
And then obviously the biggest band that put the Megaforce name out there being Metallica, and you know, you put all of your eggs, your proverbial eggs in one basket with them, you know, with the mortgages and the light bills and everything else kind of going towards them. What did you see in that band, you know, being all the way across the country, hearing a demo and you know, just knowing that that was the band that you needed to basically build a legacy around?
Well, America had nothing like this. We had Rods and YNT and Riot, you know. We had nothing that sounded like that. It was the answer to the new wave of American heavy metal.
Mm-hmm.
And it blew my mind. Everything about the music blew my mind and just made me want to be a part of it. And I really felt such a passion for that music and such a passion for the group who created it. And that's the passion that helped break down in America, in spite of having very little funds.
You know, to take a chance like that on a band, it blows my mind. And I'm assuming that that Marsha was just was she completely behind you, or was she thinking you were crazy for mortgaging the future?
I don't know if she ever thought I was crazy. She always believed in me.
Yeah,
she always basically went along with me. She yelled at me plenty. She took me. That was stupid.
Yeah.
But if it had any credence, you know, she's a big music head, too. And she was emotionally involved in the music and the development of Metallica, too. Nothing is just Johnny Z.
Yeah.
Oh, so between having a woman that stands up and doesn't give you a hard time and backs you, I'll tell you something, that's a great thing.
Just being able to put out that first Metallica album, Kill 'Em All, through your label, and 30 years later, you know, seeing multiple box sets and millions of records sold, you know, how does that make you feel at the end of the day?
It feels good.
Yeah.
And remember, we put out Ride the Lightning, too.
Yes, you did.
So it was all beautiful. It was a beautiful thing. I love that they sold all these records. It's a great thing for everybody.
And I know we're coming up on it, so I'll end with this. And, you know, basically, the reason I ever picked up a bass in my entire life was Cliff Burton. So tell me a little bit about Cliff and how he was in your life.
Cliff Burton was a dear friend, very easygoing, easy to talk to. He watched my, sort of looked out after my daughter, Ricky, when I was away doing time at night, because I was in a halfway house in part of this story. And he told bedtime stories to Ricky at night so she didn't have to listen to all the ruckus downstairs with all the band staying in the house. And he stayed with us as she fell asleep. That's the relationship I had with Cliff Burton.
That's fantastic. Well, the book is called Heavy Tales, The Metal, The Music, and The Madness as Lived by John Zazula, Johnny Z. It is out October 29th, and pre-order is out now. And from what I can tell, man, the pre-orders are going through the roof.
It's pretty exciting. I had a number one pre-order book for about 1 second.
Well, there you go. And hopefully it'll all come back around again. And man, it's great that you're getting your story out there. I cannot wait to sit down with the book and go through it from beginning to end and hopefully get you back on after I read the whole thing with all of my my new questions for you.
Hey, you're more than welcome, all right?
All right, Johnny. Thank you so much and have a good rest of your day and good luck with the book.
All right, Josh. Take care, man. We'll be right back.
All right, huge thank you to Johnny Z for coming on the show. Like I said at the beginning, you could talk to this man for hours and hours and still not have everything that he did out there. Check out the book, Heavy Tales, The Metal, The Music, The Madness, as lived by John Zazula. Like I said, out October 29th. Pre-order it now. Pre-orders for standard and signed hardcover and paperback copies of Heavy Tales are now available at www.johnzazula.com, as well as digital retailers such as Amazon, Audible, Barnes & Nobles, and Ingram Content Group. And once again, guys, thank you so much for listening out there. Make sure you're going over to Apple Podcasts, leaving a nice 5-star rating, nice 5-star review that will be read on an upcoming episode. Thank you guys for checking out merchlive.com using the promo code TOOMY10 at checkout for 10% off your entire order. Make sure you guys are checking out Good Company with Bowling. Yes, scottgoodcompany.com or just Good Company with Bowling over on YouTube. Let him know that the Talk To Me podcast sent you. And make sure to hit up those show notes. Grab a new Talk To Me tee. Got a new design coming. And I think you guys are going to love it. So until next Thursday, for the Talk To Me podcast, I am Joshua Toomey, and I will talk to you guys soon.